Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm glad God doesn't listen to me and do things my way? For the rest of you, we'll pray for you. And you know what I said? Right after Carla got through singing, I said, it's time to preach now. That's what I said. I'm being honest. As Denise was coming up here, I was like, yeah, it's time to preach now. Oh, they messed up. They're going to sing another song. God's like, shut up. I'm just being real with you. If you like phony stuff, you ain't going to like me at all. God just said, shut up. I'm not done yet. As a matter of fact, I got something for you, if you would be quiet. And man, I'm glad that I'm not in charge. I'm glad I wasn't up here 3 minutes ago doing something. Amen? Because God helped me. Amen? I don't know. I know He helped you too, but I'm so glad sometimes. Do y'all ever do that? Do y'all ever talk to God and say stuff like, you know, I know we like the old, we use analogies. Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah, I pried out of my dead hands. Right? Some of y'all say that, oh, Jesus, get the wheel, and you're sitting there driving like crazy. Right? You got Him in the trunk. You won't even let Him speak. You won't even let Him tell which way. Hey, you need to turn this way. No, be quiet. I'm so glad sometimes when He just says, Kevin, be quiet. You don't know nothing. I'm God. You're not. You got a gift. That's it. And I gave it to you. Golly. Man, y'all are in trouble today. John chapter 5. There's going to be a lot of redundancy. You're welcome, Ray. A lot of redundancy in this message this morning. That means it's going to be a little bit repetitive from last week. So you know what that means? God's trying to tell you something. Pay attention. If you didn't notice also, when Carla sang, last week Ashley sung a song, and it said, I never promised you, right? And today, Carla sang Through the Fire. God spoke into my spirit right there and said this, some of y'all are about to go through some trials. God's going to be through the trials just like He was when you were doing well. Trust God. Amen. He didn't say that you didn't have to take up your cross. He didn't say that you weren't going to go through the trial. He didn't say that you weren't going to go through some things. He just said He's going to go through it with you. Amen. So remember that. Because listen, I'm going to preach, I promise, I hope, to what I'm trying to get to. But sometimes we come to church and we got blinders on. We're looking at that clock. Well, I mean, we're sitting there thinking, man, I hope we get out of here by this time, and we're not even listening. I mean, we want to hear what we want to hear, and we want to see what we want to see, but sometimes God is doing an underlying current thing, and sometimes we get into a position in our life, and we say, oh, God, how did I get here? God said, I've been sending you signals for a month. I've been sending you words. I've been sending you songs. I've been sending you testimonies for months. And all of a sudden, you think you got here just by happenstance? You think you just arrived here? You just bumped into it? God's pretty cool. I'll show you how cool He is. Watch this. John chapter 5. After there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Okay, it's the feast of Passover. You think God's ahead of the feast of Passover? Okay, that's when the Jews were taken out of Egypt. Hey, on the last plague, on the last thing that God done to show the Egyptians that He was God and that He was God over all. He annihilated and destroyed everything the Egyptians worshipped systematically. They worshiped frogs, flies, the sky, the sun. They worshiped each other. They worshiped people. And God said, you know what? I will show you something. He said, I will take a lamb, right? I will take a lamb, and I will sacrifice that lamb, and I will put the blood upon the doorpost. And whoever doesn't have that blood on the doorpost, I will come in and take their firstborn child. I will devastate Egypt. And the whole thing was Jesus. Let me paint this little word picture for you. Thousands of years later, because that's how far ahead God is on everything, Jesus walked up to Jerusalem during the Passover. It's a religious feast and ceremony, and we've been having them for about 2,000 years since Calvary. Wouldn't it be cool if Jesus would just walk in the midst of our religious ceremonies? And maybe if we just couldn't recognize him, but he is who he is. I mean, Jesus rolled up through. I know that's a weird term to use for Jesus, because he came in through the sheep gate. That in itself is awesome. The temple sheep brought up from Bethlehem to be sacrificed every year at Passover. That was God. Jesus was from Bethlehem, the house of bread. I am the bread. Jesus strolls through the sheep gate as the shepherd, as the Lamb of God. Oh my God. Do y'all ever, God, he's flashing signs and showing you stuff your whole life, and you're sitting there wondering where God is, and he's been trying to get your attention this whole time. Jesus walks right through the sheep gate, and it's kind of funny. He goes, I am the shepherd, but yet I will be sacrificed. Back in Egypt, you know what they would do? They would take the lamb without spot or without blemish. Jesus, without sin. Amen? Without spot, without blemish, in the prime of its life. About 30, 33. Amen? Without spot, without blemish, without sin. Amen? Not a bone will be broken. When they went to break Jesus' bones on the cross, he was already died. He already died. You think that was happenstance? That was God saying, I'll get down to the details on you. Amen? But I want you to see this. You know what happens when you bring a small lamb, a beautiful, friendly, awesome, nice, amazing, full of grace, mercy, love, peace, joy, and happiness lamb into your home? Anybody want to take a guess? Kids fall in love with them. Go get you a baby lamb. Right? Bring it up in your house with about, you know, any kids under 10. Invite a bunch of kids over to your house that are under 10. Amen? And have the lamb there. You will have a lamb fight. You give me the lamb. I want the lamb. You got the lamb. You had the lamb a minute ago. I want the lamb now. It's my lamb, right? Come on. Do anybody got any kids in here? Now just you know, let the dad say, guess what? We're having a barbecue in a couple of days. The kids will be like, what are we having, Dad? Lamb. You will have a dying fit. You will have some kids pitching some fits on you when you go to take the lamb because they fell in love with the lamb. Some people didn't fall in love with the lamb. It was okay to sacrifice him. But there were some people who fell in love with him. Can I ask you a simple question? Have you fell in love with the lamb? Is he a big deal to you? Because see, when they took Jesus, there were some men and women who lost it. Because they had fell in love with the lamb that had to be sacrificed. Just like the children of Egypt. They were like, but wait a minute. No, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. But wait a minute. That lamb didn't do anything. He's perfect. Yeah. But the death angel's coming. If we don't slaughter the lamb, then you ain't gonna live. And I love you, kids. But I love you enough to know that the lamb has to die. And see, when Jesus even mentioned it, I must go up to Jerusalem to die on a cross to pay the sin debt of the world. Be it far from you. You can't take me. You can't take you away from me. But if I don't, then you'll die in your sin. See, Jesus got up from the Passover supper and began to wash feet. And Peter said it like I'd say it. Don't wash me. I should be washing you. I should be taking your feet in my hands. And Jesus says the most awesome thing, if I don't wash you, then you're unclean. I love Peter's response to that. Let's take a bath. Amen? Get behind my ears too. Amen? Come on, y'all. Can y'all handle this kind of preaching? What I'm saying is, he would say, I'm nastier than just my feet. Didn't you feel that way when Jesus first came to ask you to be saved? And you started thinking of the big sins, but guess what? You were nastier than that. But Jesus says, when I clean you, you'll be clean. Aren't you glad of that? Jesus is just walking around during a religious festival that represents everything he is. And he just happens to walk in Jerusalem, and nobody even is the wiser. I believe Jesus tries to walk amongst us all the time, but we don't have any time for him. We don't want to let him have his way, so we just let him amble around and do something for somebody, but we won't let him do it for us a lot of times. Jesus just walks around, and now they're in Jerusalem, and listen to this, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, which is the grace place or the healing place or the mercy place or the healing place, having five porches, five porticos. Let's just call them five pews. Amen? Let's just call them five pews. Jesus, see, in the last one, he was in a house, and the house was full, and nobody could get in. So this time, he's out in the open, and nobody wants to have anything to do with him. So he just goes finds the sickest of the sickest. He just walks amongst the hospital. It would do some of you good to go walk in the hospital when and if you can sometimes. It would open your eyes to how blessed you are. Some of you, Lord, help, are going to have some things in your life happen, and you're going to realize how healthy you were, how blessed you are. He walks in amongst the sickest of the sickest, and these porticos, they were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, kind of like this. You have your front row, and you have your mid row, you have your middle row, and then you have most of your Baptist. I ain't against Baptist, I am one. I'm just saying, the best seats in a Baptist church are the back row. So I had a portico, and the water is down near the bottom, amen? And they're all down there near the bottom, and he walks in. And I love what Jesus does. Jesus is just as much Jesus back there as he is right up here, amen? Amen. Don't get super spiritual and think, well, God is only residing with me in my home. No, he's not. And God don't only just show up for you. He'll show up for anybody. He's no respecters of persons. Amen. I like when I read that in the Bible over and over. He's no respecters of persons. That means if you invite him over, if you really want to see him, if you knock, he'll answer. If you seek, you'll find. If you ask him, he'll show up no matter how bad it was or how bad it is. Amen. Preacher, you're doing good this morning. And these lay a great multitude, listen to this, impotent folk. That means they were lame, blind, all withered, waiting for the water to move. Waiting the water to move. They're waiting for the water to stir. I don't even know. I'm not even sure about this text. I am. I've studied and I've thought about it. It don't really make sense in the way God really works a lot of times. So I have to get my head wrapped around it. But I kind of see it like this. It's just like this church service. There's some people up near the front, man. They're ready to jump in at the drop of a hat. Don't be mad at me. Some of y'all are going to be mad. Some of y'all are going to leave upset at Kevin. It's all right. Just don't be mad at God. And I see it, they were just waiting on the water to be stirred, right? They were waiting on the water to be stirred. And there was some in the back, they were jacked up for a long period of time, and they knew they wouldn't get into the water, and they were all still just staring at the water. Have y'all ever been looking at the wrong thing, waiting on the wrong thing, and you didn't even know Jesus was there? Y'all are waiting on, man, all of this or that, and you're just looking at the wrong thing. They were looking at a pool when the living water was just kind of flowing in and around and amongst them. Amen? They're looking at just water that's been disturbed instead of getting that water that lasts. Verse 4 says, for the angel went down in certain seasons into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Johnny, this don't make sense to me. I've been reading the Bible for a long time. And all of a sudden, God's going to reward the most healthy, the fittest, the fastest, the strongest, and the weakest and the most broken are kind of got to be out? Don't that seem weird? When I read it, I'm sitting there going, some of y'all are looking at me like, no, you need to get a theology degree. It's what it says in the Word. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, though, that's not really how God works, is it? It's like, wait a minute. You got this guy who scraped his elbow? I mean, it's a decent little cut, but he's standing there at the bottom. He was here last week. Like, maybe he's a mechanic or something. Maybe he works for a living. He's not a pastor. Pastors never get hurt. On the outside, I'll just left that there. And he's sitting there looking, and like he was here last week, and you know he's healthy except for that elbow. And then there's that guy who's been there 38 years, who's paralyzed, who's up on the fifth row. He's up in the cheap seats because that's the easiest place for him to lay. And the water gets stirred, and the elbow guy, he's in. And some people, every church service, they're in. They jump in every time. I ain't mad at them. I would too. Hey, man, hey, some people figured it out. I don't have to go home hurt. I don't have to go home sick. I don't have to go home broke. I don't have to go home without. But there's a whole lot of people that are just sitting past that first portico, that first porch, who've got some serious stuff going on. But they never jump in. Mental health issues in their family, in their lives, depression, anxiety, fear, real issues. And they see the water trouble, but they're like, there's no way I'll get down there as fast as she does. She gets down there super quick. I'll never get down there as fast as he does. He's in the water. It's so easy for him to get in. He just dives in. He's powerful. She's powerful. They're powerful. Have you ever looked at other Christians and said, they're powerful. They're strong. They're warriors. No, they're believers. There's no strength in them outside of Jesus. They're just jumping in early. And I love it how Jesus does, because this is how I see God really works. When Jesus shows up at the five porticos, he goes to the sickest of the sickest. He don't go to the guy with the elbow. He doesn't go to the guy who just got a scratch. He don't go to the girl who's just got a kind of a limb. He goes up to the person who has no chance. Man, why don't you shout in here every once in a while? Why ain't there somebody in here who didn't have a chance of getting in? Am I the only one in God's house today that didn't have a chance of getting in? I didn't have a chance. There was no way I'm getting in. But he came by for me. The sickest, the lamest, the blindest, the deafest, the one who was farthest away. I had no hope. I had no message. I was in a place where there was no God. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised by myself. I did for myself. Matter of fact, I did what I wanted to do when I grew up. But God came to the sickest. He came to the lamest. He came to the brokest. And he just asked this crazy question. He just asked this crazy question. And a certain man, this is verse 5, which had an infirmity 38 years. Anybody in here rocking on 38 years of this stuff? I made it 30. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in this case, he said unto them, "Will thou be made whole?" You see him? Do you see him yet? I'm a man. I'm a visual kind of guy. I bet this guy's still looking at the water. Jesus is talking. And we're looking at everything else, listening to everything else, thinking about everything else, and Jesus is talking. Hey, do you want to be made whole? Why are you here? We're looking for the water. Jesus asks cool questions, don't he? You want to be made whole? I've been asking that for a long time in this church. Do you want to be made whole? Ain't that amazing? Well, no kidding, I want to be made whole. I don't want to lay out here paralyzed. I don't want to lay out here my whole life. I don't want to be in this condition. No, I think a lot of times we don't want to be made whole. We just want to be made better. We just want the situation to work. Like, can I be honest? We just want to get out of trouble. Can you just get me out of trouble? Can you just touch and heal me? Can you make them forgive the financial stuff? Because, God, I really need you to move on the financial stuff. If you give me a big bank account, then I'm going to love you. Can you work on the relationship stuff? If you fix the relationship, I'm going to love you. I might not ever make it back to the original message, but can I jump off right here just for a second? I will anyway. I pray for some of you to have every relationship that you get into go bad until you fall in love with Jesus. I hope every guy and every girl and every person that you try to get involved with just happens to leave and walk out and get mad and get upset and frustrated with you, and you get mad and you get frustrated and you get hurt, and you keep on figuring it out, and you sit there going, I don't know why this ain't working out, because you got some crazy radical preacher who keeps praying that God gets first and preeminent in your life, and everybody else who will come after that will be of God and for God, and it'll be for you. Some of y'all are going to stop by this week and say, hey, preacher, I just want to come by and talk to you because I wish you'd stop preaching and praying that way, because I like to, this one guy, he's really cute. Some of y'all are going to be like, I know, my preacher, listen, you need to lay up. I ain't had a girlfriend, and I really want a girlfriend. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to stop, because I think it's more important for you to fall in love with Jesus than it is with a person. Because if you fall in love with Jesus and you start chasing after him and pursuing after him, you won't be surprised. But after a while, all of a sudden, you'll look over and there'll be some crazy radical girl running beside you. And you'll look at her and say, what are you doing? I'm trying to chase him down. Who? Jesus. Me too. Two's better than one. Why don't we run after him together? That's a good idea. Amen? That's a good idea. Some of y'all are trying to limp along with somebody who don't love Jesus. Some of y'all are trying to run to somebody with somebody who don't love Jesus. They running back to old stuff, bad stuff, stupid stuff, and they say things like, I don't love Jesus, I don't want Jesus, I don't need Jesus. Yeah, they do. They're lying to you. Sorry. Am I still preaching about dating? Some of y'all need to let God in every area of your life, because he can fix every area of your life. He's better at it than you are. Will you be made whole? What do you want from God? Some of y'all just want protection? Some of y'all just want eternity? Or do you want everything? I'm being honest. You know what I said to God? I want the whole thing. I'm crazy. I'm radical. I've asked God for everything. Give it to me, all of it. He said, I'll give you what you can handle. Watch this right here. And immediately the man was made whole. Wait a minute. Whoa. I missed a part. Watch this right here. Verse 6. Go back to verse 7 with me. Watch this. The impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Have you ever almost been that close? Have you ever almost been that close to really stepping off with Jesus, but somebody else jumps up ahead of you? Been so close so many times. You say it, oh, I was about to do it. Some of y'all about to do a lot for God. You'll be surprised 15, 20, and 30 years will rock on. And every time you say, well, I was going to and I was about to and I prayed about it and God put it on my heart, but now I'm 50, now I'm 60, now I'm 70. He said, you know what he gave him? He gave God an excuse. I don't have nobody to put me in the water. Well, it's great. It's your special day. I'm the water and I'm standing right here. You don't have a man, you're correct. You don't have a man to put you in the water. You got God who will put you in the water. Amen? Hey, I'm standing right here. No more excuses, right? I love this. What he said? He said, Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. The man on the top row. The man on the fifth portico. The man on the fifth porch. The man who had no chance. God, I wish I could translate the way I see it into your mind. But all of a sudden, the guy in the back row just stands up. I have never, ever, ever seen it this way before. That water looks like a mud hole. These porches are nasty. Amen? Some of y'all been hating on church people, hating on things of God because you've never seen it right. You're always looking through people. You're always looking from a fallen state. Get up. Stand up. With Jesus, stand up and take Jesus. You'll start seeing, man, this place is awful. I've been laying here for 38 years. This ain't church. This ain't relationship. This ain't it. I love it. Stand up. Well, just take up thy bed and walk, redundant. Remember last week? 38 years? I don't want the nasty bed. You have it. Leave it here for the next guy. No, take it up. Can you see him? Goodness gracious. All right, Jesus, right? But watch this. The bed, you might want to write this down somewhere or just memorize it. The bed will get you in trouble. If you start carrying the thing that was carrying you, it will get you in trouble. Amen. I like to tell people about what Jesus done for me because the devil gets mad because I tell him, because I hear stuff like this all the time. God can never get anybody out of that. I'm like, I'm the one escapee from Alcatraz. Amen. I broke free. It wasn't a daring escape. I wish somebody shout right. It wasn't a total daring escape. They won't make a movie about it because guess what? Jesus totally broke in and got me out. It was all him and nothing of me. Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all ever seen that? You know, Escape from Alcatraz? It's like a 2-hour movie. Amen? They made a plan. They did this. They did that. Man, my story is Jesus came in to the worst place of worst and broke all the chains and broke all the gates and killed all the guards and walked me straight out of there and cleaned me up and set me in the right places, sent me down the right paths, gave me the right message. Praise God for Jesus, because if not, I would have never got out. But here I am. I'm out, baby. I'm out. Whew. Sorry, I get excited about I'm still excited about Jesus. I've been preaching this stuff for almost 20 years. I still get a little tore up about my salvation. I ain't tore up about anything else, but I'm tore up about how I love Jesus and how he loved me. Amen? And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Y'all want to see some instant doggone theology? Watch this right here. And the Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured. There's the problem. It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Getting on to the man right on the jump. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. That's theological gold. They came at him with a theological argument. It's the Sabbath. You can't do this. The guy that touched me and made me whole told me to. Golly, some of y'all going like, why do you do what you do? Because God said so. Get off my back. Why are you that way? Jesus said to. Listen, when he saved me, he said, be the same you, just in the right direction, that way. Y'all should have met me when I was lost. I was just as wild and just as crazy. I was just going in the wrong direction. I was taking a lot of people with me. All God did is turn me around, gave me the right message in the right direction. I'm taking a lot of people with me. I'm going to take a lot of people with me, or I'm going to die trying. Or I'm going to die trying. He says, put it all on Jesus. Ed, put it all on Jesus. You're not supposed to be carrying that. Jesus said to. And I figured if he had enough authority to heal my body, then I thought I'd just listen to him, because nobody else, none of you religious types ever came back and told me to get up and walk and do anything. So, you know, now that you're worried about him, it's kind of amazing, but Jesus said, Jesus said, I can't believe he lets me do this stuff. I'm still amazed. Then they asked him, "What man is this that they set him to take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself, for he had went away. The multitude began to take to the place, and afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, ain't that cool? Jesus disappeared, and he let him walk around whole for a while. But he wasn't completely whole. Remember the man that was lowered to the roof? He gave him his sins first, and then he healed him. Well, this man was healed first, and he's kind of walking around without any kind of direction. And he didn't really know who Jesus was. Some of y'all have came to the house of God, and you've got a taste for who God is, but you're kind of walking around with no direction. But don't worry. God, I want to say, he's still looking for you. He's still looking for you. I wish some of y'all would get this in your spirit. Jesus is still looking for you. God, ain't that sweet? Everybody in here, I'm looking for you. No, Jesus was looking for him. Jesus was looking for you your whole life. Some of y'all are going to get to 35, 40 years old, and life's going to look pretty bad in some areas. But you know what? You're going to find out even when you were 8, God was looking for you. 15, 16, 20, this, that, and the other. Watch this right here. He finds him. Afterward, Jesus findeth in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. Do you see what he did? Jesus got real with him. He can handle it. He walked right up to him and said, hey, man, you doing okay? He goes, man, I'm doing great. He goes, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to stop sinning. He goes, our worst thing can happen to you than you laying up there on that thing for 38 years. You could be laying somewhere for eternity. Amen? Listen, guys, it's good to be in the house of God. It's good to feel better and get touched and walk out of here better than you came in. But you know what's even better than that? Letting Jesus walk out of here with you and in you. That you don't end up in a worse place than just the hospital. In a worse place, just the morgue. A worse place is called hell for eternity. Amen? Because you know what the devil wants to do to you? Scott, come on. You know what the devil wants to do to you? He wants you to be raised in church. He wants you to be around a church that was on fire. He wants to do that. He wants to make a trophy out of you. He wants to set you up and go, even though you was raised in a spiritual church, you heard spiritual word, y'all worship, praise God, but you still ended up where I wanted you to end up. Some of y'all need to go, no way, no how. You ain't getting me. Amen? I'm putting my foot in the ground. I feel better today, but I want to know who Jesus is. Some of y'all need to come and repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. That means turn from your sins. Let's all stand.